Is it going? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's rotating.
Pittsburgh Section, National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History 2. This is Mari Lurie continuing an interview with Dr. Charlotte Shapiro on the 1st of September, 1988. Dr. Shapiro, would you continue your story about the Men's Benevolent Society?
They were a very active group. And in Pittsburgh, they actually worked in conjunction with the Sanitary Commission. This was after the war, when there were great needs for not only financial help, but maladjusted people who were having problems. And the men were active in that field. The women, for the most part, were social ladies who went from door to door and did help people with cleanliness. They took over children when there was sickness in homes, and many of the women who belonged to this organization would provide homes, shelter, care for children of sick mothers until the mother was able to assume responsibility again. Much of the work that runs through the records spells out that a great deal of the home life centered around sitting with the dead and visiting the sick. Excuse me. I was talking about the services that they provided.
Right.
From the point of view of interest, a Mrs. Paul Frank was one of the first presidents of this ladies' society, and I'm not 100% sure, but we used to have a department store called Frank and Cedars, and I'm sure Mrs. Frank was one of those people connected with that department store. We, in our community, have a family named Rao, Marcus Rao, whose mother was Mrs. Rosalia Rao. She was the president who stayed. She was there for 22 years, as my notes reflected when I went into history and when Mrs. Cohen gave me some of these details. The organization functioned pretty much from the different homes, and one of the first places that they finally decided they had to have a meeting place was the Road of Shalom Temple, gave them a room and did not charge them for that service. Mrs. Cohen was mindful of that because she was one of the people who met at the temple at that time. The financial efforts were very meager. Most of them were just voluntary contributions. And somewhere around 1870, thereabout, they decided to have dues imposed upon members. And one of the ideas that she mentioned to me was that, I think the date was in the 70s, they had 120 members at that time, and they collected about $1,300 with gifts of charity, and their expenses were $1,400. And so they had a deficit, and then had to ask for charitable contributions from among their members. And of course, when you think of this, it's a far cry from what's going on from the philanthropic efforts today. The organizations basically met for a long time, just informally, and took what they could free from different organizations. I think the first meeting room was down at the on Fifth Avenue, at the corner of Washington Street, which is right here at where Chatham Center is now. There was a Washington Trust Company, a bank building, and that was the first building in which they rented a room and had their first setup. That goes back to somewhere around 1921. It was that time when Dr. Ludwig Bernstein came into Pittsburgh to head up the Federation of Jewish Philanthropies. And I remember him very well, because when I first became interested in going to the Jewish Family Welfare to work, and incidentally, the Family Welfare was not organized as a separate entity until 1927. And at that time, a Mrs. Doris Victor was the superintendent. She was actually the first college graduate to work in the agency. I had applied there for a student program, and I was not really rejected. I was just tried to talk out of wanting that interest. And one of the things that Dr. Bernstein said to me was, "You're so very young, and how could you ever administer to the cares of these things that people need? And if you were a married woman, that would be a different thing." Mm. And I remember hearing him, because I was already married a whole year, almost a year, but secretly, and I couldn't say to him, "But would I change so completely if you knew I had a legal marriage license?" And it was shortly thereafter that I did go to work for them, a couple years after. That was the incipient growth, the beginnings of our United Federation that we have now down in the Key Place. The Federation had the Jewish family, and then they branched off into children's services, and then they had a Jewish Big Brother Club that was established as a separate entity in 1932. One of the original founders of it was a Cecil Schwartz, and then following him was Zirphil Pitler, who directed that program. And since that time, we have now gone into our big federation. It's interesting, because when it came to getting money, originally we had, ladies have probably heard of the push geese that they used to have in your home, and little cans, and you just drop in for good and for bad and for memorials and for honorary things, and people would come from door to door. And then we had the what we knew as the professional schnorrers, who used to come around every Sunday with large goatees, yes. And sometimes we questioned whether they were bona fide charitable collectors or not. But in any event, then they had fairs and bazaars and raised money that way. It was not a business way of collecting money for charitable purposes. And in the field of social work, the Jewish Agency, back as far as 1877 was the date, I think, that the charitable organizations set up their first federation. Our Jewish people were instrumental in setting up this type of contribution to avoid annoying people with always asking for things. It was an annual contribution that was given. I think maybe I have given you as much of the background, which brings me up to my own services. The Jewish Family Welfare had, in my opinion, unusually good services. They were quite dedicated people. They had many divisions. They had a legal committee, and I remember that well because Ben Giffen was the chairman of that, and I knew him personally. And whenever there were any legal complications with Jewish families, we went to Ben. And Ben was in the Ross Street building. That's where the new prison is, our new jail in Pittsburgh, the supplementary building was put up there. And then they had a furniture department, and I can visualize the person who operated it, but I don't remember her name. And then we had health services. And I know she's still living, Miss Florence Marcus, Dr. Marcus, who is living today, and she's an elderly lady, a medical doctor, who was very active in the community, and then took over a lot of the services at the Arsenal Center for Children. She was one of the moving forces behind that. It was not until about 1930 when the United Fund came to be and when we became a part of receiving contributions from that branch. And then it was subsequent to that when the state and then federal government came in with the emergency relief boards and contributed to the services. And now we are a magnificent service group that is quite commendable.
And well, that brings me to my next question, which is how do you view Jewish life and its place in the community today?
Well, I think from the point of view of the service the Jewish people give, they are a dynamic group. They are recognized among all agencies as being top rank. The services that the Federation does is recognized internationally in every phase of their contribution. From the point of view of numbers, I think the date I gave you around the Civil War time was about 2,000 people. There was a tremendous influx when the Russians had problems and came over about 1905, 1907. And we had about $20,000 people in Pittsburgh. I think our peak year was after the World War, First World War. When I mentioned my husband's people went over, everybody did. If they had people over in Russia or any part of the areas, they brought them over quickly. And I think at its peak, Pittsburgh had about maybe 10% of what our population of the whole city was. We had about 60,000 people. I don't think we have that many today. I was going to check the statistics, and I really neglected to do it. But I think now we have about 53,000 Jewish people in Pittsburgh. So we're less than we were back in the 1920s. But there was a reason for that. The influx was so great. Now, people who are the refuseniks and people who are coming from Russia are going, they're dividing a little bit. Now, some originally were going to South Africa, but they're not going there now. Some were going to Israel, and many are still going, but still there's some trepidation about even Israel with the problems that they're having. A great number are going to Toronto and settling there. And, of course, we in the States are getting a goodly number. The Federation is very helpful with reestablishing these folks who come over as immigrants.
Dr. Shapiro, you said you retired as a principal in 1977, that's correct?
No, I was never tired. I retired. Yes.
Did you really retire, or what did you do from then on?
I never really retired. I retired. I had been the principal of an elementary and a junior high, and then I serviced, when that was broken down, I serviced an elementary school, the Morningside School, for about 6-7 years, and then I retired. And I knew that technically I was not ready for retirement. Thank goodness I'm well, and I was active. And I just couldn't see my way clear at that time. And so my husband suggested that I go back and take a refresher in some area of specialty. And I thought, well, the Board of Education is never going to need the services of a substitute principal because they don't need substitute principals. They need substitute teachers, and they can get along without them. And so what I did was I leaned upon my second career as a school psychologist, and I went back to two institutions. I took a refresher internship at Mayview State Hospital. I was still a trustee there at that time, and I worked for, it must have been May, June, July, August, 4 or 5 months intensively. And worked off an internship there. And that helped me with my renewal of the psychiatric element. And then I went to the Child Guidance Clinic in Pittsburgh. Now they're incorporated. They used to be a separate entity in Oakland. Now they're with Western Psych as a branch. That has happened since I was there. And I took a full-year refresher there. And it was shortly thereafter that I started to get calls and invitations. Would I help? This one had a sick psychologist who was going to be out for a period of time. The first assignment was the Board of Education. One of their psychologists had gone to Philadelphia on a sabbatical and then was offered a fellowship to stay on at Temple and decided she wasn't coming back. And so the board needed somebody fast, and they asked me if I would take over. So I worked for them for just a couple months until they were able to get someone to take the full-time assignment. And from that time on, I have really and truly been working primarily for the Allegheny County Intermediate Unit. The Pupil Personnel Services has been very much in need of people. Their psychologists have either taken sabbaticals or they've been out for illness, and I could work full-time if I had the full-time to give them. But I do. I work 2-3 days a week and service the various outlying schools. And as a result, many of the school districts have asked me to work as a private consultant. And what I will do is, if they're not entitled to service from the intermediate unit, I take it as a private consultant and give them the service that they need.
So are you doing evaluation?
I'm doing that now, yes. What I do is I have referrals on the basis of problems that children are having. Mm-hmm. And then I meet with the parents, meet with the teachers, then see the child mm-hmm. and assess the youngster. And then I have conferences with staff so that they have a report of what my findings are, what my recommendations are, and how practical they are. And, you know, sometimes you're too theoretical and the school district can't meet a need. And so you have to adjust your recommendations to what's feasible for the child. And then the parent is brought in and we have a conference, give them a report, get their blessings. And for the most part, they are very happy and they're very pleased that something's being done because they recognize the children are needing help. And I'm happy, yes, that they want the services of this senior citizen.
That's wonderful. Just a family, Dr. Shapiro, are there any honors or awards, publications that you've had that you have not mentioned to us?
Actually, not really. I'm just a very ordinary person who has just gone along happily. No,
as a matter of interest, when you traveled, were you actually ever invited to speak overseas?
The only time I spoke overseas is when I was connected with university programs, mm-hmm. or when I was at the University of Pittsburgh. I was called upon very often when I was the chairman of the Pi Lambda Theta, which is the educational fraternity, the honorary, and I was asked many times to speak there. Also, when I was chairman for Council for Exceptional Children,
mm-hmm.
I was called upon because, first, I had been teaching at Pitt, and secondly, they knew that I had certification in half a dozen retarded, gifted, orthopedically handicapped, blind, emotionally disturbed children. And so actually I had a pretty generic area of contact, and so I would talk on that. Parent-teachers organizations very often needed someone who would explain programs, and I spoke there. The Pittsburgh Council of PTAs invited me to speak to them. I mean, those were sort of in the line of duty. I was working, and I was the logical person who could serve their purpose. But I don't attribute that to my merit. It just happened to be in my line of service. And
perhaps I could ask you one more question. Is there any one honor or reward of which you are most proud?
Well, let me say, I have been recognized as one of the council members in many ways because of my service. It's because of my service to Slippery Rock that I was invited to be on the council as a state officer, and I became the treasurer. And just recently, I was asked if they could submit my name to the governing board in the state. I said yes. However, these are all political appointments, and I have not heard yet, but my guess is that the appointment may not go through, but in any event, I'm still very actively involved in the state system, and to me it was quite a compliment that my name was submitted to the governor for that appointment. Whether anything ever materializes or not is yet to see.
Thank you so much, Dr. Cicero.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure. In fact, I haven't done so much. This is going to be recorded. I better be quiet. I have enjoyed what I have had an opportunity to review over many, many years.
Thank you.
Mm.